I'm fine with you.
No, you've done it now.
I was...
What did you do?
You got the intro.
I'm just gonna say, Andre, you're just gonna dance, and you're not gonna...
And welcome to Stream of Conscious Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Awesome Cogs. This is Joe, Player 2, Stout, and Andy, Artist 4.
That wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Hi. Yeah, I'm part of the show, too. I forgot that I didn't
have not a anymore, you're not.
No, go ahead.
So today, I'd like to talk about a few things. Did you know they make CBT oil for dogs?
CBT oil? Is that the marijuana oil?
Mm-hmm.
I knew a thing, Joel. I knew a thing. Of all the things I know, though, right?
Because, as we know, July 4th...
Why don't you tell everybody what the CBT oil is, other than marijuana oil? Because that just sounds
that's
like...
That's all I know it is.
It's not the stuff you, like, bake brownies or anything out of.
It doesn't get you high, but it's a mellowing agent.
Yeah, it's got some of the same stuff that that pot, that cannabis has in it that causes, like, the health benefit part of cannabis
that
they put
stuff.
To an oil... Yeah, it won't get you stoned, but it's actually, like, a legit oil, and, like, they make it in, like, lotions and such that you can then, like, rub on if you have a headache or something or whatever. It's, I don't know, I've already exhausted the best of my understanding of it, but it's basically, that's what CBT oil is, just so that everybody's on the same page with us so that we're not talking
about it. But they make it for dogs because of fireworks. Dogs freak out and do fireworks a lot. So if we give them CBT oil, they can mellow out and not be so freaked out.
Yeah, you know what? We didn't talk about during the last live show. We didn't talk about 4th of July, and what we did. We usually get into all that stuff. We skated right over top of that one.
Yeah, we keep on skating.
So you can get your dog stoned so he doesn't freak out over the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of my big references. Anytime I talk about anybody being skittish or like something that freaks you out, I never realized how much I talk about with my right hand until we started filming where I have no right hand. Be poking Joel in the eye. Nope. The illusion of how close we are is lost now. But I always say about, like, you know, like, if something scares me, if, like, I'm watching a scary movie or something, that's one of my colloquialism. It's one of those things that I say that I jump like a dog on the 4th of July or whatever. But so you can get your dog stoned legally.
Depends on your state.
Okay.
But here's the thing. I don't know how I feel about getting my dog stoned.
You know what that means, Joel? It means you have morals. We're all finding it out just now. This is quite a monumental moment for us. Because here's the thing. I've heard you talk about killing people for, like, little mundane things like turning right without their turn signal on. And now you're showing, like, the sentimental side of you that is, like, you can't do that to a dog.
Well, no.
Meantime, really, get a dog stoned. Who's the victim? Dog's cool. He's not barking and yapping at the fireworks. Dog's not like, oh, man, you got me stoned. Damn it, I got to take a drug test at work. You can't get a police dog stoned. And those dogs, like, walk around those little vests that say, like, don't pet me, I'm on duty, because they're, you know, they lug around the blind people and stuff. Like, those, you don't get those dogs stoned.
They don't carry the blind people. They guide the
blind people. Okay, so you don't get like a service dog stoned. Although I guess it depends on the service. Like, if you have, like, there's people that now have service dogs that you can get your dog certified to. Wow, can they hear that? There's lightning going on outside. Thunder and lightning going on.
On a bright sunshiny day.
Right. The sun's out and we got thunder going on outside. Okay. Anyways, back to the dogs. If you have severe depression, like if you're clinically depressed, you can have your dog certified as a service dog so that you can take it into places so it can go like grocery shopping and things like that with you. That dog, you can get stoned. That's okay. That's a stonable dog. That dog's okay to be high.
Which is great when you take him to the grocery store.
Push around a cart, my dog's just putting bags and chips in there. I did not pick out Cool Ranch Doritos spot. Scooby-Doo! There's got to be a Scooby-Doo joke in here somewhere.
So,
like, Scoob and I are going to go investigate in the kitchen, huh?
So, I'm going to segue.
The bestest pal in the whole wide world?
From CBT oil to pot brownies.
Cracky? I just wanted to do the Scooby-Doo voice so bad. I'm sorry. All right, so you're gonna do? Are you gonna use CB?
No, I'm saying
like things we don't do anymore. Hydroponics and ghosting.
Nobody cares about your shopping trip. We really could spend a whole episode just quoting Scooby Doo. I know I can't. What?
And go.
Oh no, that's the pressure's on. I'm gonna do it.
Uh huh.
I only want to do things that I'm not supposed to do. Once I'm allowed to do it, I'm out. That's no longer
so.
It's like when my mom used to say, "Don't eat those cookies," and I'd go.
So last year I was working for like a week.
Okay.
And I missed my opportunity to try pop brownie. Very disappointed.
I'm disappointed because. If there's, well, no, I'm not, because the first time you get stoned, I want to be there. I don't want you getting high unless I'm there to witness it and be part of this monumentous occasion.
So here's my question. You never smoked. You don't want to smoke. But would you eat a pop brownie?
Oh, hell yes. Absolutely, I'd eat a pop brownie.
So there's a guy named Joey Diaz. He's a comic. He's a Cuban comic.
Yes, he's on Joe Rogan's podcast all the time.
And apparently, he eats a lot of edibles. A lot of them.
Everybody on Joe Rogan's podcast eats a lot.
But, like, when one podcast talking about, like, they shouldn't make edibles into things like gummy bears, because you're not supposed to eat a lot of it. But, yeah, gummy bears.
I don't think it takes a lot.
It does take a lot.
I'm not well-educated on this.
But you put it into a food like a gummy bear, you can't stop eating gummy bears. On top of that, there's the stuff in it. So you're going to get really fucked up.
So but I'm saying, like, I think that, first of all, I could eat an entire tray of brownies. Like,
yes,
I can definitely do that.
But when you add the pot element to it.
Well, but here's what I'm saying is when you're not supposed to, but I imagine if I can eat an entire tray of brownies, I could probably eat an entire tray of pot brownies.
Exactly.
So, and you're only supposed to, like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know the rules. I don't know what it depends on how much of the pot oil or water or whatever you put into it. Like, the more you put in, the less you're allowed to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
for me, the ones that Joey Diaz eats, you don't eat a lot of these things. Like, you have, like, half or a quarter.
Of a gummy bear?
No, of these, like edibles that he gets.
Okay. Well, but I think that's the thing, is I think you're not doing this as, like, you're not sitting there, like, eating them like a bag of chips. Like, it's not like you're sitting watching a movie going, oh, I'm going to eat all these pot gummies.
What I'm saying is, though, but you have the gummy bears, which are known to be eaten a lot.
Right. Well, I think that's you don't do it as you're not eating gummy bears. You're eating pot that is in the essence of a gummy.
But how quickly we forget once you start eating
gummy bears. Once you're stoned, you might go, I don't know, man. I just cannot lose this high.
That's all I'm saying.
See, I threw in another Scooby Doo there for you.
Do you bake, Joe?
Do I bake?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love baking. I cook. I bake. I'm
I know you cook. I don't know if you bake.
That's what I like baking and I do bake, but I try to avoid it because the things I bake are like brownies and cookies and all the unhealthies for me. So yes, I do bake, but I'm more into cooking. I like to cook, just cooking and just generally I'm a foodie, I guess, to a degree.
Huh.
Not like excessively. Like, I'm not one of those guys that you can sit down.
Should I still call you Anthony Bourdain?
No, not by a long shot. And I'm not even really all that great at it. I just really enjoy doing it. And I like making foods that are not weird foods necessarily, but I like foods that are a little off the beaten path. I was actually just talking to a good friend of mine a few days ago about how I really want to make make jambalaya. And they were like, I've never had, what is that? And I'm like, you don't know what jambalaya is? It's like gumbo, but it's different. They're like, what's gumbo? And I'm like, oh my God. Like, well, if you don't know those, and you definitely don't know what etouffee is, but they're all kind of in the same family, and I want to make that. And then that conversation led to all of the foods that I do make. Like, I make eggs Florentine with a hollandaise sauce, which sounds really fancy, and it's really, but it's not a complicated recipe.
If I can't spell it, I don't cook it.
Mac and cheese.
Nope.
No, this is good. But I like to make foods that are
M-A-C-K or M-A-C.
There's a difference. Don't eat M-A-C-K anything. I don't know who he is, but hey, Mac, what you doing later?
What are you, Andy? You baker, cooker, anything?
Let's eat, Grandma.
I was a cook in the Army for 8 years, so I can.
How many potatoes did you peel in the Army?
Millions.
Because you always see those cartoons of the guy sitting there peeling potatoes.
I imagine that's all. While
I did peel some potatoes, I spent some time in right on the DMZ in South Korea.
Ooh.
And we had Korean KP.
DMZ stands for
Demilitarized Zone, by the way.
Okay. I did not know that. Thank you.
We were the...
It's also a computer.
The furthest most air defense artillery battery right before they start dropping bombs on you.
It's close as you get to the action without actually being dead.
And there we had civilian KPs. They were Korean. They came in and they peeled all the potatoes. So I didn't peel too many there. But when I was in the reserves, I probably peeled more potatoes as a civilian than I did in the army.
I feel like if I had that job, I'd be done before they could run out. I'd run out of potatoes before I got done.
You'd what?
Wait, what?
You run out of potatoes.
I'd run out of potatoes. They run out of potatoes before the punishment should be over, is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Because I feel, as a kid, I made a lot of French fries.
I feel like I need to translate that to the audience, because not everybody speaks Joel. But basically what you're saying is you enjoy peeling potatoes.
No, I peeled a lot of potatoes as a kid making French fries.
So it's no big deal.
Yeah, we had a...
Well, yeah, we didn't do it so much as a punishment, so much as we got a lot of
mashed potatoes. People got to eat.
Well, like I said, you always see on the cartoons and movies, like, oh, drop give me 20, and by the way, you're going to keep eating, you're making peeled potatoes. And there's that giant, like, 20-foot-tall pile of potatoes. The guy sitting there tonight going, oh, shit.
Right, and Bill Murray sitting there peeling all of them, right? That's how that works out. That's, okay, so, like, going back to the whole cooking thing, I love, love, love to cook. I hate doing dishes. I don't mind the food prep. I will prep, I'll chop, I'll dice, I'll...
I don't mind either.
With my frappe, I'll do all of that. I don't mind any of that.
Ever since I've become an adult, I don't care cleaning up. It's just like, okay, let's do this.
See, I should have married you, Joel. Well, I'm sorry, did it get awkward now?
No.
I'm saying, it's weird.
Back then, Joe, it wasn't legal. But now we both have wives. I'm pretty sure they get upset.
Wow.
But yeah.
I know both of our wives. Neither one of them would be that mad if they were
us. True.
But they'd both be very thrilled to be done with both of us.
Hashtag truth. We all can't be like Andy here, married for 17 years.
17 years. Congratulations on that.
Nice. There's a buddy of mine that I work with. He just recently had a massive heart attack. It was like life-threatening. But he was a big foodie. And he had posted on like Facebook, the kind of guy that you're, taking pictures of your... You know, most people, like, they go to a restaurant and they take pictures of all their food and nobody cares. This dude, he's great at what he does. But then after this big surgery, like everything was clogged to his heart. He had a huge surgery. And he's lost an amazing amount of weight from, like, what you said, just paying attention to diet. I think he walks around a lot, but I don't think he, like, goes to a gym or, he probably just walks. But he's like, he just dropped a phenomenal amount of weight just from paying attention to diet and watching, what he eats.
It's amazing how, like, your diet can affect. And we were just talking about this a couple episodes ago where, Joel, you're down a considerable amount of weight.
10 pounds.
You lost 10 pounds. Again, kudos to you, man. Great job. And you did a lot of it just from changing your diet.
Eating the same damn thing every day.
Well, but no, not
no. The reason I say that, the book "The 4-Hour Body" by Tim Ferriss, he talks about the slow carb diet.
Okay.
And he talks about the easiest way to lose weight is to make your meals very boring and do the same thing every day.
Oh, I hate that. That's absolutely the opposite of what I have a tendency to promote when it comes to food.
Well, because the thing is, though, he has basically gives you the list of what you can eat, and you can mix and match the stuff. But me, I'm lazy.
Okay, well, and there's certain levels of it. Like, if you are someone who is on a very strict regimental diet, like, for you to look like a supermodel, then yes, you're going to stick with...
We call it the Christian Bale diet.
The Christian Bale. Okay, so you're going to do the Christian Bale.
Are you aware of that diet, Andy?
Huh?
Are you aware of that diet?
Mm.
So when he did The Machinist, he dropped down 116 pounds.
Oh, yeah. No.
He ate a can of tuna and an apple a day.
I believe.
See, no, that's... okay, well, that's a whole nother...
You said supermodel, so...
No, I'm talking like... I'm talking like these dudes that are just beefy and cut and ripped.
Oh, you mean bodybuilders?
Okay, not even necessarily bodybuilder. I'm saying like somebody who's in prime fitness.
Let's
Yeah, like, no. I don't want Andy on the show anymore. No, Momoa is looking good now, but they're going to have to bump up his calories as he's in the hospital after I kick the shit out of him. No, but I'm saying, like, the, yes, okay, so five, like, Momoa, like, these dudes that are beefy, they're cut and everything like that. There's a whole different, if your lifestyle is that of, like, a kickboxer, or if your job is to show up and be a male model, if you're some A-list celebrity type or something, and you have 1,001,000,000 followers on your Twitter, you're going to follow a different diet than
the Joel Cox diet
type of people. I eat well, I eat healthy, I try to eat clean, I try to, I do put effort into clean proteins, water, I eat, but I'm not, like, excessive on it. I don't know if you can tell on the camera or not, those of our video watchers as opposed to the audio watchers, I'm by no means GQ cover thin. But I'm also.
But you're dad bod GQ.
For dad bod, I got a rocket. I'm doing great, I suppose. But it's a whole different thing. So you can eat healthy, you can eat clean, but it doesn't have to be foods that are. You don't have to stick to every day eating boiled chicken, rice, and broccoli.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
But here's the thing, though. The one thing they talk about is how, like, Epic Mealtime, the guys that make all the crazy food. And they eat it on the internet.
I think I've heard of it, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, they do the same slow carb diet, where they eat the same thing every day, but there are cheat days, the days they film at mealtime. So you can basically eat yourself sick on your cheat day. And the goal is to, you get to the point where, like, I don't want to eat anything, and you're happy to go back to the same thing every day. That's how that diet works.
Okay, but and there's extreme diets, but I think just in general, and everybody who you know, really knows and talks about it. And I wish we had Jonesy on the on call today, so he could really give us a little more insight on this one, because he's just super well educated on this. Love him to death with all that he knows. But it's one of those things that you don't have to be an extreme. You don't have to eat just like if a diet. First of all, if it's called a diet, you shouldn't do it. You need to change a lifestyle more than anything.
I disagree. See, I lost 10 pounds on a diet.
But did you really diet, or did you just, is it a lifestyle change?
I ate the same damn thing every day for like 6 days.
That's terrible, because now you're not getting the variety of all the other things.
I don't want variety.
You
half the time,
you need variety.
Half the time I'm like, I don't want to eat right now. You have to get shit to do.
I don't want
to
talk about health food anymore, because I've actually, for the past several weeks, I have been eating, I've cut out all of the carbs. Well, very, very, very low carbs.
I cut carbs out 5 days a week.
I'm not even eating sliced bread at this point. I'm eating a tortilla is the most a carb that I'll put in my body. No processed foods, definitely no processed meats, no sugars, no. I do put a little sugar in my coffee in the morning still.
What are you drinking there, Joe?
This is your fault. This is my cheat day. No, but I'm not even doing cheat days, honestly. Okay, yesterday I did. It was just a day that kicked my butt at work and everything. I came home and there was pizza for the kids. I ate a couple slices of pizza.
That's got processed meat. That's got carbs. That's got sugar. That's got everything you're avoiding, Joe.
It does not have processed meat because it was a vegetable pizza. Oh, yeah, make that face at me all you want. It had, like, black olives, green peppers.
Or the GMO?
No, it was from Costco.
So processed vegetables. Just as bad.
No, they're not.
All that chemicals and pesticides.
Okay, but listen, I'm not saying that I don't. Here's the thing: is I have a sweet tooth so bad that if I were to have like a brownie or a cookie or a piece of cake today, tomorrow is also going to be a cheat day, even though I don't intend for it to be. It's just going to be one of those days that I go, oh man, I gotta junk food something up. I'm going to sneak it, or I'm going to justify like a little bite. And then I'm going to justify another little bite, and another little bite, and another little bite. Because I don't have that willpower. I do not have that control. I'm a different situation. There are people, like, you can eat good, 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 and then have a cheat day and go back to eating your good again. I can't do that.
Because Thursday I went to the doctor. He told me all that
and
crap.
He has something he wants to say.
Oh, every day is a cheat day for me. I got nothing, believe me.
But,
Well, we're only showing me from here.
But, like, when I went to the doctor, he's like, all this stuff. I'm like, eh. So I went to McDonald's, got like a
double whatever with large fry. And I got the news the next day. I'm like, okay, fuck it. I've eaten that for a while. And I think I went a good week and a half without eating any french fries. And you know how much I love french fries.
Yeah, oh yeah, I do. I do
have much. I'm just like, but like, fry, yeah. It was funny because like I'm sitting there at work and like I changed my diet. I'm like, oh, I'm hungry. Hey, it's actually lunchtime. That makes sense. But like, I'll be while I'm driving home, like, actually, I'm like, no, I can do this. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, no, I'm in control. I'm not eating that. Willpower? Fuck you, willpower. Do what I want.
You're not on camera, by the way, just so you know. I don't care if you're on camera or not. I just wanted to let you know that one.
I'm a ghost. I'm not here.
One of the bigger reasons why I eat, that I try to live a slightly above average healthy lifestyle.
Brody, Brianna, so Bella, Brody.
No, obviously my kids. That's a huge thing. But genetically, I am not blessed with good fortune.
But I am.
Every single man in my... You are so full. You have... Because you don't have high blood pressure is one thing. You got one thing.
My dad's 85.
But, okay. That doesn't mean... Okay, I guess it means something. My dad was like 50 when he passed. But no, heart problems do run in my family. And I already, at my age now, I can feel... like, I deliver furniture for all day, every day, for 5 days a week, 12 hours a day. So it's not like I'm living a stagnant lifestyle, and I do feel already internally, I feel a little decrepit at times. So it concerns me. It's one of those things that no man in my family has lived past 54 or 55, with the exception of my Uncle John, who I can't for life me remember how old he is, but he's not much above that, but he's above that, and he's kind of like the exception to the rule. My dad, my grandfather, both sides, really just across the board, all the men in my family have not made it deep into their 50s, particularly on my dad's side. So I'm trying to fight against that. There's been a lot of people in my family were smokers. There none of them have ever been good eaters. There's a lot of negative that they have done. And I really want to, in my mind, it's a matter of keeping that whole nature versus nurture thing. Like, is it lifestyle? Is it that? Or is it just genetics? And to some degree, it's a little bit of both. So I'm fighting the genetic side with the nurture side. Like, I'm taking care of myself and trying to eat. But it all did start because of my kids. It wasn't until I had kids that Bailey. Whenever Bailey was wee little, I was at my grandmother's house. She asked me to grab something from upstairs, and I ran up the flight. And it wasn't like she doesn't live in a mansion. She lives in like a normal house. And I ran up one flight of stairs to go to the room. And I got to the top of the steps and I was winded. Like I couldn't catch my breath. I was so bad. So I went and I was like, it was just like I could feel my heart bump, 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 bump in my chest. And I was like, I'm going to die if I don't change this drastically. And that was really the kickstart of it. And I have waxed and waned. I've been back and forth. I put on weight. I don't. I really push hard in the summertime so that way when the wintertime I can take some time off. I can eat birthday cake for my kids' birthdays. When Christmas people are like giving out cookies and all that stuff, junk food. I do. I'm bad. And I admit it. I acknowledge it. By no means am I the epitome of health. And I should definitely not be delving out any kind of health knowledge or instruction, but that's where I settle it. It's more of a genetically. We are not at an average level of health. My family has been subpar with a lot of that, so I'm just I'm fighting genetics. Now you with your not high blood pressure, not good blood pressure, just not high. And we've not figured this out yet. We are going to check into this one. You have one thing that you're putting a whole lot of faith and pride into. So we're not you're not off the hook with me yet, is all I'm saying, Joel. I'm glad that you're eating healthy, and I'm glad you've lost some weight. And I hope that you continue on to become and grow as a healthier person from there.
Well, like I said, I looked at the Jonesy a little bit about tweaking some stuff, and it's like it amazes me how like the one dude he basically called it the Qdoba diet, where he basically ate nothing but burritos with no rice, just vegetables and like chicken.
Okay.
and basically was able to lose weight that way. There's all these little cheats you can do that nobody seems to really talk about because they want you to go on some crazy diet.
Diets are fads. That's why you don't do it. That's why I say you do it
like that. So, funny story. You don't hear about the keto diet?
Oh, that's actually, we were talking about that.
How before. It converts
fat into, or sugars and fats into energy.
No, it converts fat into energy. It doesn't convert you. I mean,
well, there's the cycle of Willis that converts sugar into fats, which then converts them into
energy. Well, what I'm saying is by not eating sugars. Trust me, I talked to Jonesy about this keto diet. Okay. So,
back off! No, well, that's, I was saying, you know, you were saying about the hypothyroidism.
Yeah.
That's my friend. That's what she does.
Well, basically, a lot of these people cut out all the sugars and carbohydrates, and they eat nothing but fatty, like tubs of yogurt. What they don't tell, because the yogurt's full of fat, what they don't tell you is, if you cut out sugars altogether, you become diabetic.
Okay, well, here's the thing. The odds of you cutting out all carbohydrates are slim.
No, but there are people who do it, though. And they end up becoming...
But those are the people that are the extreme level of things.
Yeah.
It's super hard to cut out all the carbs. There's carbs in foods that you didn't realize have carbs. Broccoli has carbs. Little, but there's carbs in it.
But it's possible. What I'm saying, though, is... Like, there's that little fine print they don't tell you about. It's like...
No, okay, yeah, but that's a whole that's going back to the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to talk about health anymore. I'm sick of it.
So
Let's talk about your favorite dessert. Let's go the whole other direction.
Let me do this transition. I'm shifting in the fourth gear.
Okay.
So...
I don't think you know your gears.
Yes, sir, third gear, because that's my third topic.
Okay. All right, clearly I don't know gears.
So, as you know, I'm in Toastmasters.
Yes, yes.
What you don't know is I'm now the president of my club for Toastmasters.
Oh, yeah?
Apparently, there's a term limit.
That's good.
And the girl who usually does it couldn't do it anymore. So, the woman, Linda, who I love the mess with.
Do you have diabetes?
No.
Okay.
So, Linda goes, you should do it.
She has COPD?
No. She's like, you should do it.
Sleep apnea?
No. I'm like, you should do it. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, hey, Renee. She goes,
you have a heart attack.
So let's swap roles. Like, okay.
I was wondering how long you'd go along with that.
So, nah, I'm now president because nobody else wanted to do it. So we have a bake sale coming up in the middle of July. Actually, the 24th.
Yeah, I saw your giant box of brownies.
Yeah. So because I can bake, full circle, they want me to bake some brownies and some chocolate chip cookies. So I bought some mini...
Are you going to put pot oil on the brownies?
No.
I bet they'd sell better.
I know they would, but I'm going to lose my job. So,
do you paid for this? This isn't like a real job. Like, if you lose it, it's no big deal.
No, this is my real job, my day job.
Oh, okay. Oh, this isn't at Toastmasters.
No, Toastmasters is doing a bake sale at my job.
Oh, okay. All right.
I got to do all this baking. So I bought these. I wanted these. We decided to make mini brownies. Apparently, when you sell a lot of small things, people feel like they're getting more money for their money. So instead of selling big cookies, you sell a bunch of small cookies in a bag. Skull, I got 5 cookies. Compared to, I get 1 cookie for $1. Now I'm getting 5 cookies for $1. Just the same exact amount of cookie, just in smaller sessions. So I looked at these brownie pans online, and they were $6 for these brownie pans. But they were, the Amazon calls an add-on. Which means if you buy $24 or more, you get it for that price. If I buy 2, it was $30. I told my mom about this. She goes, oh, we can go from Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm like, I'm not going to Bed Bath & Beyond. They're super expensive. She goes, I got a coupon. Okay.
Moms always have
good. Yeah. So we go online because they don't have it in the store. She goes to order online. Well, just switch it at my house. So I put in my apartment number and address and all that stuff. And I just put the apartment number with the number. That's how everyone takes it. Not Bed Bath & Beyond. Bed Bath & Beyond told me I put my address in wrong. Please enter my house number. Which I did. Told me to enter it again. So I tried just the apartment number. After 3 tries, I'm like, we're done. We're not buying from them. She's like, why? I'm like, because this is a horrible website. I spent $1,000 on multiple websites who would take my address and not tell me that I don't know how to put all the fucking addresses.
So basically what I'm hearing is you're protesting Bed Bath & Beyond, and we would now like all of our audience to join Joel in this...
No more buying stuff online from Bed Bath & Beyond.
Screw Bed Bath & Beyond.
So my mom's like, you're going to... I'm like, yeah, I'm spending the $30 on Amazon. So I went home, I'm looking, like, let me look at this add-on price thing. Purchase at $24 or more. Well, no, $25 or more. They're $6.08. I'll buy 5 for 30. And I got 5 pans for $30. Way better deal than 2 for 30.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
So the hell with that dollar meal?
Exactly.
Nobody likes them anyway.
No, I don't. I seriously don't, because everything's so high.
I want to take a wild turn here and turn, because we've been talking about food for way too long and such. I want to go back and talk about this amazing, I can only talk from hand. Holy crap. Okay, so this amazing artwork that we have going on in our background, and you very graciously donated this from your art collection. This is your original. We talked about this before.
It wasn't very gracious. It was very self-promotional.
That's okay, too, though. Because we said before that you gave us that you allowed us to use this as our background, and it's phenomenal. But there's actually a little bit of story to some of this, right? Like, this is like...
Yeah, well...
Daredevil over here. What's...
Originally, he started, he was just a head. It was... You probably can't zoom into it, but... He has, like, a face mask on. He's wearing underwater gear or whatever. But,
So he's a scuba man.
Yeah, but originally he was somewhat of an aqua man.
He was
a big robot head with, like, a window inside where you could see the guy operating him. And somehow it went from that to this whole thing. I just went nuts with it. It's all Adobe Illustrator. It's all vector art.
Tell me what's going on with this chick up here.
Is that a chick? She got captured. And so this dude over here went to go save her, but he got captured by the creature over here.
By Eerie monster baby toy thing over there.
He was based on a water bug, and I just kind of...
This one over here.
Yeah.
Right, the big guy? Not this guy. This one over here.
Yeah, the
there's a lot of characters.
That one over there. He was based on a water bug.
Is that one or is that two? Because there's a face right
there. Well, yeah, he has a human head, eyeball, something on top of him.
Okay, I got to get... That's... Holy crap. Okay, let's go. I'm going to join Joel's space over here. All right, so this thing right here.
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy right...
He's some sort of mutant, co-join, bug, human thing.
You feel like you're a weatherman?
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm the headless horseman. Okay, anyways. All right, so this dude.
And then that dude controls this dude.
This guy here.
He went to go save her.
I'm having way too much fun doing this.
And he got captured. There's the little round robot minions right there. And there's a couple of them floating around. They hooked him up underwater. He's all chained up to that plant. And this thing's going to eat him unless he figures out on it.
I really enjoy the aqua scene in here. This is kind of cool. Like, this is fun for us. These are above the chick. Like, those are plants or something?
She's basically suspended in a bubble. It's wrapped up in, like, a golden chain suspended between these two plants, flowers, whatever.
No, her jacket makes me feel like she's a detective.
Yeah, exactly. Like a spy.
That's what I got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's some sort of ninja warrior thing.
Yep.
Like he's got that thing going on. And then all the sea monsters are just sea monsters of different various... I'm loving this, though. I'm digging this.
Cool.
I like this quite a bit. That's awesome.
So the one podcast I listen to, they talk about... They do deconstruct media. They talk about the stories of the day or whatever. And they've got a ton of fans, like thousands. And there's like a good...
thousands.
Yeah, but they actually have artists in those fans that actually participate.
Fans are not interactive.
Yeah. So what happens is, every week they do that episode, every artist finds that one subject matter to make the whole show about.
Okay.
And they draw, during the show, the artwork, the cover for that episode.
Which podcast is this?
No Agenda.
I'm familiar with it. Is that JRL? No, JRY, Justin Robert Young?
No, you're thinking Night Attack.
No, there's another one he does. What's his other one?
Politics.
There's another
Jury.
One he does. Jury, maybe. That's
yeah.
All right.
No, this one's totally different. It's John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry.
Adam Curry sounds familiar.
He was a VJ on MTV back in the 80s.
That's why I know that name.
But they do a lot of, like, they look at media and deconstruct it and tell you how, like, the media basically is, like, instead of telling the whole story, they tell you the story of the information they have. It's one of those.
Well, and then there's no surprise. That's always been the way that it's been.
Yeah.
Is that media is kind of controlled, and there's ways around. It's omission of truth.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not necessarily lies.
The cool thing is, like, every week some guy they have to figure out which guy's art is good for that week, and it's amazing how that happens. And like,
do they pre-record and then
no,
kind of go with it?
They listen to it live,
and then they submit by the end of the episode. So they basically have a 3-hour show.
Okay.
So the guys have 3 hours to draw something out.
3-hour show?
Mm-hmm.
Shit, we run out of things to talk about 20 minutes into a 30-minute
show. They're actually talking about the news and actually have intelligent conversation.
The news is boring.
Yeah.
That's borderline public radio.
But anyways,
do you listen to NPR?
I have.
I started listening to it a bit ago.
I can't.
Just to kind of stay involved.
I need.
I liked it, but I.
Here's what I need.
It's too repetitive.
Here's what I need. I need two regular dudes just sitting on a couch, drinking a beer, telling what's going on in the world, and giving me their 2 cents.
I'll tell you what, I would not mind.
There's a show called Dignation back in the day I used to listen to.
What's it called?
Dignation.
Dignation.
They had a website called Dig, and social news, where people would submit the news stories,
okay.
And the people would vote on them.
That sounds familiar. It's still around, isn't it?
No, they collapsed a while ago, but the name stayed, and some guys took the name and redid the site.
Okay, I see.
But anyway, so you'd submit a story, and then other people on the site would look at it and they'd vote on it. If you got enough votes, you'd get to the front page, and more people would see it. Well, then, end of the week, on a Saturday or Sunday, they'd have an episode, and they'd do 10 stories of that week, what was the top part of that week. So they'd literally sit there with beer on a couch and just talk about shit that happened on the website. And, it was my favorite podcast, because, not only do you get the story, you get their 2 cents on the story.
I like that. I like that it's a little more honest than
And that's what I enjoy, instead of having a news anchor who is like, whoa, we got to get this done in 35 seconds.
And of course, there's all those videos that you see where, there's one I saw that was just, mind-blowing, where it was all these different news stations that it was not 3 or 4. It was literally probably at least a dozen that were literally verbatim saying the exact same thing about one particular news story, and I can't remember what it was, but it started off showing one, and then as they were talking, they split it to two, and they were literally mimicking the exact same words, and then it went 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, and it was however many there were, I don't remember, but there was probably upwards of 15, let's say, and they all, you were listening to them talk. Did you see this?
Yes.
It was every single thing, not saying the same relative thing, saying the exact same words.
No, Jenna has actually showed a couple. That's happened a few times. Or every news station reads the same exact copy.
Right? They're scripted. They're all scripted.
And they're synced
up. Just it's embarrassing for media for them to have this. And that's one thing that you and I have a friend who works in newscasting, and I would be really
No. You have a friend. I know the guy.
Well, we both know the guy. He's Jim Loke.
He's a dick.
Don't say that about Jim.
Jim Loke's a dick. Come at me, bro.
Well, now we're not getting Jim on the show, so there goes that.
I don't want Jim on the show.
Jim's not a bad guy.
There's not enough room for his ego in this state, let alone in the podcast.
Okay, well, I guess we're not having Jim on the show then. Jim's not a bad guy. Jim's
over
a good guy.
My dead body. Jim's a dick. Dick. D-I-C-K. Dick. Jim Loke.
Go ahead. It's your show now.
No. Don't say he's a good guy, because he's not a good guy.
Jim's a dick.
Wasn't there just a big thing in the news about Pittsburgh stations, Republican, right-wing stations, all being owned by one particular company.
Mm-hmm.
But, everybody always talks about the, left-owned media.
Yeah.
But then, people are up in arms about this one particular company taking over all these news networks and such.
Well, there's a techno song I got years ago, and there's a monologue in it that talks about how, the news used to be there to inform you about what's going on. And nowadays, the news is
there to tell you what to think.
Exactly, because they're owned by the actual advertisers.
The media controls they influence. I guess they can't really control, obviously, but they strongly influence how we think. And it's really kind of always been the way. There's always been some degree of that. Ever since the first newspaper has ever been printed, the media has had say-so and control in what they allow and what they project. history is not the truth. History is what has been given to us and provided to us to allow us to believe, you know, America, the greatest country in the whole wide world. And but then you, as you grow and you learn and you educate yourself, you find out that there's Sweden. So many more. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Sweden's one of the better, if not one of the, again, I don't want to say one of the best, but they're well up there.
They're one of the best. If you're going to move to Sweden, move to Sweden.
No, I believe New Zealand is also one of the more.
They're too close to the prison island. Don't go there. Yeah, I'm kidding. I love both New Zealand and Australia.
Yeah, we love you, Kiwis.
If you don't want to upset your sponsors, that's one thing.
Exactly.
When the whole thing is run by the sponsors, then that's where the problem is. Mm-hmm.
That's why we have no sponsors. We can say anything we want. Like, Jim K is a dick.
Jim is a dick. Fuck Jim.
Poor Jim. I don't even know.
No, right? Yeah. I don't know if he did listen to our show, but he doesn't.
He definitely doesn't listen to our show because I'm not friends with him on Facebook. Are you friends with him on Facebook?
Yes, I'm friends with him on Facebook.
Jim, I still don't like him.
You ever see the
movie? I run into him every so often. It's going to be really fucking awkward now.
You ever see the movie Demolition Man?
Yep.
You ever notice all the... There was a period of time when...
Refresh my memory on this one. Demolition Man. That's
Stallone
and Wesley Snipes?
Yeah.
Okay, I just make sure I'm thinking about the right
movie. I'm going to preface this by saying there was a big thing mid-80s, I guess. Movies like Terminator 2, where it was just rampant with advertising.
Cars flying down
the road, there's fault machines everywhere, there's Coke signs, and there's, you know, cigarette ads or whatever. Well, Demolition Man, along these same lines, it was Wesley Snipes, but even, that was like surface. There's like, anybody that knows me has heard this story, so if anybody actually is watching this and knows me, just...
You've heard this rant, but here it is again.
There's three layers of advertising in this movie. There's like the surface stuff. They're talking about Taco Bell throughout the whole thing. So there's like, you know, the in-your-face sort of advertising. Somebody pays for them to say Taco Bell. When the dude wakes up out of, you know, they wake him up out of his frozen coma. And the first thing he says, hey, you, give me a Marlboro. So it's like, what, a Marlboro? Yeah, cigarette, any kind of cigarette. And so it's like, you know, here's the start of the movie talking about, you know, a product.
Right.
So that's kind of like a layer. Driving down the road, there's Coke machines or Coke advertisements in the background. So that's kind of another layer. But pervasive throughout this entire movie is where they added into the dialogue. Stuff that you would say every day that, you know, might not, we wouldn't mean anything by it, but because it's in a movie and it's been said by a movie star, they're getting paid to do it.
It's bigger.
So it's all throughout the movie. It's like a... Yeah, I already killed those people. They were already dead. Cold as Haagen-Dazs.
Is that a real line from the movie?
Yeah, it's Wesley Snipes.
That's awesome.
They're in this out-of-control car, and Snipes and Bonds and Stallone off the road as they're flying down the road. It's like, they were already dead. Cold as Haagen-Dazs.
That's my favorite line.
And then I'm going to kill that Fruit Loop cocktail. Cocktail's the main bad guy. He's getting ready to crash his cop car into a fountain. It's like, how do you stop this Mickey Mouse pizza girl? I mean, it goes on. I mean, I could literally name off the top of my head dozens of examples of this exact same thing.
We were talking, I don't know if it was the last episode or before that we were talking about watching YouTube videos and how now even with YouTube, you can't get through a whole video without them stopping and playing a commercial. And you get advertisements, just you're bombarded with them with no discretion to when they are, where they are. It's just kind of like they're thrown in now. And that's a very new thing. Like, it wasn't like that before. There was commercials, but it was you watch the advertisement and then you watch the video. But now they're just tossing them right in the middle. So it's literally, they're forced upon you. And I absolutely hate it. I detest it. It's not, we're talking Demolition Man was a movie from like 1990. Who cares?
No, I'm not doing that.
Anyways, before Joel has a chance to look this one up, Demolition Man was a movie quite a while ago, and now, so like,
we can't hear you. Speak slower.
That,
what are you trying? I can't understand.
Stop interrupting me.
What you said? 1993.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I said.
1993.
So 1990,
nobody cares.
1993 was a year that nobody gave a shit about.
That's my first year of high school, asshole.
That's okay. And again, still nobody cares. But I believe, in my heart, I believe that we are going to see this come back around full circle, where I believe that you're going to start seeing that more avidly. Because now in movies nowadays, you do see a lot of promotion for different things, whether they're holding a Budweiser or they're stopping at Dunkin' Donuts, or, you know, it's not necessarily part of the movie because it helps move the storyline along. It's part of the movie because it's a paid part of the storyline.
Well, look at something like Wreck-It Ralph. The whole movie's an ad for everything. I mean, that, you know, especially, I haven't seen this latest one that comes out, but you can tell it's all about Disney and everything on it line, because it's like, you know, Ralph wrecks the internet. So there's going to be, it's just going to be one big movie about
that. Right, one after another. And I'm almost willing to forgive that, because I feel like the movie was designed in a way that doesn't affect negatively what the movie is. Like, it's part of the movie. Like the movie's based off of a video game character. So when you're looking at all these different video game characters, obviously it's not necessarily advertising. It's part of the movie that's incorporated with it. Like, you go back, the first that, and I'm not saying it's the first time it's ever happened in a movie, but the first that I can recall there really being an advertising in a movie that was ideal and promotional, E.T. Whenever E.T.
Pieces.
Exactly what I was, yes, exactly what I was doing. They originally wanted, we'll come back to what you were going to say, because I don't know what you're hinting at.
Originally they wanted to use M&M's, but M&M's said, like, the idea of their product being thrown on the ground to, you know, whatever. So
right. Reese's was like, yeah, do whatever you want. We don't give a shit. We're Reese's
Pieces. Piss it on shit. We don't care.
Nobody's buying our product anyways. And then E.T. made them float around the room, and everybody's like, holy shit, I got to go eat some Reese's Pieces now. And it really bumped up. Their sales, I can't remember the numbers, or I can tell you specifically what it was.
Some xenophobes are like, I don't want no candy, some aliens even touch them.
Xenophobe. Fear of aliens. Fear of the
alien candy.
But it did. It promoted Reese's like insanely. Like, it really bumped up the sales of Reese's drastically. So I think you're going to see a lot more advertising in movies coming shortly, because, I mean, that was, like I said, as far back as I can recall. I'm not saying it's the first time, but it's the one that really was, like, you know, iconically, you knew what I was talking about before I even got into it, kind of thing. Like, obviously it's a big enough deal.
Top Gun.
Okay, go to Top Gun.
Aviator shades. When that movie came out, aviator shades.
You mean like this?
That's all I wear is aviators. Those are my sunglasses of choice. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between.
Do you have a Need for Speed?
I do have a Need for Speed.
No, if you wear those, people will actually see what the rest of this room looks like.
Take that off.
Take it off
now.
Here's a shout out.
Because most of it's blue tops anyways.
Here, this will be a shout out to a buddy of mine. There's a guy that runs a. Something knocking on your door.
Oh, shit.
I'll be right back.
Hopefully. Oh, it's your camera.
My dad.
It's the camera that you broke.
Yeah. Should I hold my story?
No, I gotta tell your story.
Joel. There's a friend of mine. His name is Bill. He runs a site called Groovy Doom. He has a blog where he talks about 70s horror movies and exploitation movies and blah, blah, blah. He's a big, one of his all-time favorite movies is Mommy Dearest. I was talking to him about advertising the movies, and he told me the first.
What are you doing?
I took over. Hold on.
One of the people that started product placement in movies was Joan Crawford.
No kidding.
Because she was a sponsor for Coke or Pepsi or something like that, so she started having them put them in her movies so she could advertise them.
Groovy Doom?
Groovy Doom.
Groovy Doom.
He also has a fanzine called Drive-In Asylum. It's a very well-made. As a matter of fact, they just got picked up by...
That sounds familiar.
Probably. He just got picked up by...
Where's the mouse?
Who's the big... Forbidden Planet in New York. They distributed stuff now. His fanzine.
Folks.
Groovy Doom.
That I broke. Well, that's why,
bro. Okay. Oh, wait, that's because I spelled it wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, I was thinking out loud.
This might sound weird, but hey, why not? I'll be taking the voice of Joe right
now. You got to speak a little louder, because we switched microphones, and I definitely talk louder than you do.
Yeah, we'll see.
You turned off your mic.
You like them apples. I have no idea what any of those buttons do.
Put that new thing and just hit and start hitting something on between some screens.
Yeah, if it's the wrong button, it kills the podcast.
Yeah, I can go
yeah, I'm not touching that. I'm terrified to do
advertising,
something.
Advertising, subliminal advertising in Disney movies.
Joel, I have no idea what I'm doing over here.
My nerd thing.
Groovy.
Groovydom.
Don't worry, folks. Next episode, we'll have the right for camera.
Joel, why can't I...
Joel, bring up groovydom.com. We'll play with the camera later. I'm headless again. And I'm back.
So Facebook, what were we doing on the blog?
Is it a blog that he has? Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. Go onto the blog and then post the show.
There you go.
This is your friend?
That's picture of him right
there. Oh, wait. On screen.
We just all disappeared for a second.
Yeah, because I was just...
I'm mad then.
No, we have a promo. We should have done it on the live one. We should have covered this earlier. So your friend does the Groovy Doom. Okay, there you go.
Yeah, everybody. He goes to, there's a, what is it, Riverside Drive-In in Pearl or Leechburg, somewhere over there. And he'll go and watch the movies and do, I think he's done live podcasts from like his car watching the drive-in movies, but then he'll blog about them. He has a big base following. He has some bigger people that do have bigger blogs than he does that have links to his blog, and he's gotten some real
that's awesome. No,
that's notoriety for what he does.
Yes, we get our audience. Everybody, take a second after our show. Swing over to groovydom.com. If you're even slightly more savvy with a computer than I am, it really wasn't difficult to find. I was goofing it up. I think it was the pressure. I had anxiety. I had computer deficiency for a moment there, but that was...
Yeah, you're trying to run my rig without...
That's what it is. I have no idea how to operate any part of what you do over there. I had the computer version of erectile dysfunction trying to do that one. Yeah,
man, I'm so glad I didn't laugh right there.
That's right, nobody
did. Rule of thumb, when Joe and I are talking, don't drink.
We're not that funny. You give us way too much credit.
No, but occasionally we have that Joker name that goes off.
Yeah, every now and then. Once every fifth episode, we have something that makes you laugh. So groovydom.com and check out his blog.
But guess what? That's a great time to do this.
And it's that time again. Thanks for joining us here on Stream of Consciousness Podcast. Check out groovydom.com. And be sure to join us here next week. Like us on Facebook, on Twitter, and all of the above. Thank you again to all of our new guests, viewers, and we're growing exponentially right now. We're picking up so much pace, and thank you to all of you who make this possible. This show is only really well. We're still doing it for nothing, but we were doing it for a long time with very little support, and now we're doing it with support for nothing. All right. We love you, and we'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.
Good night, folks.
Good night.